This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. Rabbi shahri sadri wa yassirri amri wa ahlal uqdam min lisani yafqahu qawli. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah to send His peace and blessings upon the final Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all those who follow his way with righteousness until the end of time. Today inshallah I just want to give some reflections on one of the most important surahs in the Quran. And it's a surah that each and every one of us are familiar with. We've memorized it, we recite it every day. But it's a good reminder to us to reflect on the verses of the surah and to always derive deeper meanings from it. And so today's topic inshallah are some lessons from surah Al-Fatiha. From amongst the miracles of the Quran is that every surah of the Quran is such that you can study it and learn a lot of lessons, and then you can study it again and learn even more lessons, and you can study it again and learn even more lessons, and this can continue and continue because the word of Allah is so deep that the lessons that can be derived from it never end. So even if you have studied the tafsir of Surah Fatiha, there is always something new we can learn from it. And this is why it's important as Muslims that we don't just recite Quran, but we learn the translation, we study the tafsir, and we reflect on the meaning. Because it is only when we do these things that the Quran can really impact our hearts and change our lives. So from all the surahs in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose one surah for us to recite in every rak'ah of every salah a minimum of 17 times a day. And that is the Fatiha, the opening chapter of the Quran. This surah is so important that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, "La salata illa bi fatihatil kitab." There is no salah without Surah Fatiha. Meaning if you leave out Surah Fatiha, the salah is invalid. It's incomplete. This is how important the surah is. The surah is so important that when it was revealed, a door of Jannah was opened that had not been opened before. The surah is so important that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam once asked one of the Sahaba, "Do you know what is the greatest surah in the Quran?" And another hadith he said, "Do you know which surah is such that nothing like it has been revealed in the Torah, the Gospel, the Psalms, or the Quran?" And in both of these hadiths, the Prophet said, it is Surah Al-Fatiha. The Surah Al-Fatiha is so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself praises it in the Hadith Al-Qudsi. And in this Hadith Al-Qudsi, He establishes a direct relationship between him and the one who recites Surah Al-Fatiha with understanding. And so this hadith in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I have divided the Quran, or rather I have divided the Salah between me and my servant into two parts. When my servant says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, I say Hamidani Abdi. And it goes on and it goes on, a conversation between the servant and Allah. Surah Al-Fatiha is a conversation between the servant and Allah. For every line of Surah Fatiha, there is a reply from Allah. And it is mentioned in the Hadith Al-Qudsi. When you say all praises for Allah, the Lord of the universe, Allah replies, "My servant has praised me." When you say, "You alone we worship and you alone we ask for help, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in," Allah says, "This is between me and my servant, and I will give him whatever he asks for." And then when you ask, "Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim," guide me to the straight path, guide us to the straight path, Allah says, "If this is what you want, I will give it to you. I will give you guidance." It is a conversation between you and Allah. Surah Al-Fatiha is not just mere 7 lines that we memorize and parrot off. It is a conversation between the creation and the creator that is supposed to take place in every rak'ah of every salah. Now why the surah? Why from all 114 surahs that Allah choose this one for us to recite every day? There are so many reasons and so many wisdoms. I just want to focus on a few today. The first is that this surah summarizes the entire message of the Quran in 7 lines. The entire message of the Quran is summarized in these 7 lines. And so when we recite it in every rak'ah of salah, we are reminding ourselves of the entire Quran's message. What is that message? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord of the universe. He is the most merciful. He is the one who we will report to on the day of judgment. He is the one we worship alone. We must follow the straight path and you must avoid the path of misguidance. This is what the entire Quran is about. And this is summarized in the 7 verses that make up Surah Fatiha. And so when we recite Surah Fatiha, when we reflect on Surah Fatiha, when we read a translation of Surah Al-Fatiha, we are reminding ourselves of why we exist. We are reminding of ourselves of what the Quran is about. And we are bringing the entire message of the Quran back to ourselves. So this is a very, very important part about understanding Surah Fatiha, that it is the entire Quran summarized in 7 lines. Now let's break that down into 3 topics. And inshallah, those 3 topics will make up the bulk of today's presentation. The first topic there is, who is Allah? The first 3 verses of Surah Fatiha tell us who is Allah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmani Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. All praise is for Allah, Rabb of the universe, most merciful to all creation, especially merciful to the believers, and the master and king of the day of judgment. Right? In these 3 verses, we have 6 descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In 3 verses, we have 6 descriptions of who is Allah. Number 1, He is Allah. Right? Allah means the only one worthy of worship. Al-Ilah, the only God, the only one worthy of worship. This is the meaning of the word Allah. And this is why it is the greatest of the 99 names. So He is Allah, the only one worthy of worship. In that already there is lessons. We must worship Allah alone. Number 2, He is Rabbul Alameen. What does Rabb mean? The Lord of the universe. It means He controls the universe. He sustains the universe. He is in charge of the universe. Nothing happens without His will. Right? So this attribute of Allah being Rabbul Alameen, it should put into our hearts an understanding that Allah is in control of everything. There is no good luck, there is no bad luck, there is no outside force that can influence our destiny. Everything is from Allah. And so when good happens to us, we say Alhamdulillah. When tests happen to us, we say it's a test from Allah. Either way, we know everything's from Allah. And so this we learn from Rabbul Alameen. Then we learn about Allah's mercy, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And Allah's mercy is divided into 2 parts here, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman means that Allah is merciful to all of His creation, the believer and the disbeliever, the human and the jinn, the animals and the plants. Allah's mercy encompasses all of His creation. The disbeliever, Allah gives him his entire life to repent and change and to start worshipping Allah. And even while he's disbelieving and involved in sin, Allah is still providing for him. Allah is still giving him wealth. Allah is still giving him fame. Allah is still giving him status. Allah is still giving him life. He's still making his heart beat. This is Allah's mercy. Many of us don't think about this. Ar-Rahim refers to Allah's exclusive mercy for the believers. That if you choose to live a life of worship of Allah, there is a special mercy that you get in this world and the next. In this world, that special mercy is the help of Allah. Divine assistance, du'as being answered, miracles. All of this is part of Allah's mercy in this world. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you out of a situation in which there was no human way out of it. That is His special mercy. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers your du'a, even though you thought that I was asking for something that's not possible, Allah still gave it to you. That is Allah's special mercy. This is the special mercy for the believers. And in the afterlife, there's an even better special mercy for the believers, and that is eternal paradise. So this is Ar-Rahim, the most merciful to the believers, or rather especially merciful to the believers. And then the final description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, it has been revealed in 2 ways, Maliki Yawmiddin and Maliki Yawmiddin, Master of the Day of Judgment and King of the Day of Judgment. Right? two names of Allah, or rather two attributes of Allah. Allah is the master and the king of the day of judgment. What does this tell us? It tells us that when we die, it doesn't matter who you were on earth, whether you were a CEO, you were a president, you were a king, you were an entrepreneur, you were a scholar of Islam, it doesn't matter. You are responsible to Allah for how you lived your life. Your titles fade away. Your titles mean nothing on the day of judgment. What matters is what did you bring to Allah? Your iman and your good deeds. And so Allah reminds us in this verse about this. Now it's interesting that in Islam our iman is based on three things: love of Allah, hope in His mercy, and fear of His punishment. And the first three verses of Surah Fatiha summarize all three. We learn that Allah is the one who controls the universe, and this increases our love of Allah. We learn that Allah is most merciful, this increases our hope in His mercy. And we learn that He is the master of the day of judgment, this puts the fear of Allah in our hearts. So in these three verses alone, we learn to love Allah, to hope for His mercy, and to fear His punishment. Before I move on to the next verse, just very briefly I want to comment on this topic of fear of Allah, because it is very misunderstood in many of our homes and many of our lives. Many of us think of the fear of Allah as a as something scary, as something bad, as something that will push people away from Islam. We think of it as just fear of punishment only, right? And we think of it as separate from the love of Allah. That's not the correct understanding of fear of Allah. I want you to think of it like this. A child who loves their father still fears disappointing their father. They still fear doing things that their father dislikes. They still fear that their father may punish them one day. But they love their father. And the good deeds they do is out of love for their father. Right? The respect for their father is out of love for their father. Right? Allah is above all resemblance to humanity, but just to give us an idea, we love Allah. Out of our love for Allah, we fear disappointing Him. We fear doing things that He does not like. And we fear that we may become worthy of His punishment by living lives that are displeasing to Him. And so fear of Allah is part of love of Allah. It's not separate from it. It's part of love. You love Allah so much, you don't want to do anything to displease Him. You are afraid of disappointing Him. And so this stops you from committing sins. This is the fear we should strive to have. This is the level of fear that is linked to love. And really the love of Allah is where iman flows from. That is what we should aim towards. To being people who love Allah, not just people who fear punishment. So moving on to verse number 4. Verse number 4 is considered the most important verse of the entire Quran. Entire books have been written explaining this one verse of the Quran. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. Why is this the most important verse in the Quran? Because it summarizes for us the purpose of life and the way to Jannah. Why did Allah create us? To worship Him alone. What is the way to Jannah? To worship Him alone. Right? The entire purpose of this world and the way to succeed in the next world is summarized in this one line that we have to repeat every day in every salah to remind ourselves that this is the way to Jannah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. What is worship? When we say the purpose of life is to worship Allah, some people may ask, but I have a family to take care of, I've got a business to run, I've got studies to do. How do I put worship of Allah into all of that? Well, we have to understand worship of Allah in Islam is a very broad topic. It's not like the English meaning of the word worship. Like Al-Ubudiyya, the Arabic word worship, a better translation may be to submit to Allah or to obey Allah. That the purpose of life is to obey Allah. So if you are working hard to provide halal money to take care of your family, that is worship of Allah. If you are treating your family well, if you are being good to your wife, if you are being good to your children, that is worship of Allah. If you are sleeping early so you can wake up for Salatul Fajr, that entire sleep is worship of Allah. Right? Worship of Allah is not only the rituals. It's everything else as well. Allah has created for us such a beautiful religion that you can be sleeping and earning reward for worshipping Allah. You can be working and earning reward for worshipping Allah. You can be with your wife and earning reward for worshipping Allah. This is how beautiful our religion is. So When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He created us to worship Him, the main meaning of that, or the primary meaning of that, is we need to pray five times a day. That's number one, pray five times a day. Beyond that, the other pillars of Islam, zakah once a year, fasting once a year, hajj once in a lifetime. What else is there to do? Be a good person. You know, be halal in your business. Be good to your family. Be good to your neighbors. Have good manners. All of that is worshipping Allah. Right? So, these are all the things we need to do to get to Jannah. So this is a very important verse of the Quran, and really an entire lecture can revolve around just verse number 4. But I just wanted to remind you of that one point. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to worship Him, and all of this is worship when it is done with the right intentions. Now to the final message of the surah. The last part of the surah is a dua. A dua that we are supposed to make in our salah every day. And I already mentioned in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies to this dua. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the hadith Qudsi, that when you say, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, Allah replies to you, or Allah replies and tells the angels, that my servant, you know, he has said this, whatever he has asked for, I'm going to give it to him. Whatever he asked for, I'm going to give it to him. And then you make a dua. That dua is, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path. And Allah replies to this dua. He replies and said, you will have this, you will have guidance. Now why does Allah ask us to make dua for guidance every day of our lives in every salah? Are we not Muslims? Have we not been guided to Islam? Why does Allah ask us to make dua for guidance every day? Because we need guidance every minute of every day. Yes, we are Muslims now, alhamdulillah. But how many people who used to be Muslims have left the deen? How many people's iman has disappeared? It's not just about that. What about sins? Yes, we are Muslims, but sometimes we fall. We forget Allah, right? We fall into major sins. And so we need Allah's guidance to protect us from that. We need Allah's guidance in deciding what's the best way forward. You have two career paths in front of you. One's going to make you a lot of money, one's going to help the ummah. Which one do you choose? You know, this is something where you need Allah's guidance. So Allah's guidance is something we need every day of our lives. We must not take for granted that because I was born in a Muslim family, I'm going to Jannah. That's not the way it works. It's not how we were born that decides our Jannah. It's in what state do we die. What is the state of our iman when we leave this world? What is our relationship with Allah when we leave this world? What quality of deeds do we have when we leave this world? That's what matters. And so we need to be constantly trying to reach higher levels of guidance. Right? Guidance is not of one level. Somebody converted to Islam, alhamdulillah, that's guidance. But now, that person starts to pray five times a day, that's the next level of guidance. The person starts to grow a beard, that's another level of guidance. The person gives up his job because it's haram and he starts a different job for less money because it's halal. That's another level of guidance. Guidance comes in stages, it's at different levels. Each of us have areas in our lives where we still need the guidance of Allah. Where we are still doing the haram and we need that shift towards the halal. And so we need to be asking Allah every single day, اِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us to the straight path. Because each of us have sins, each of us have misunderstandings, each of us have some levels of internal problems when it comes to the deen. And Allah's guidance is the only thing that can protect us from any of this. So to end off, I want to mention the final two verses of the surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He summarizes for us the path of guidance and the paths of misguidance. The way towards Allah is called siratul mustaqim, the straight path. What's interesting is in another verse of the Quran, Allah says, whoever strives, makes jihad to find the truth, whoever strives to find the truth, لَنَحْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, we will guide them to our path, in the plural. So, you know, recently I was asked, is this a contradiction? Allah says straight path, singular. In the other verse He said, I will guide them to our roads, our paths, in the plural. It's not a contradiction. Sirat and subul are two different words. Think of it as this way, right? If there's one highway to Jannah, on that highway there are different lanes. And they're all headed towards Jannah. And so the straight path is one. But on that straight path there are different roads. They are the mujahideen, they are the ulama, they are the du'at. They are the people who are generous, the people who fast a lot, the people who pray tahajjud, the people who have good manners. All of these are different paths to Jannah. There are 8 doors to Jannah. The good deed that you excel at, that is the door you will enter Jannah through. So yes, there is one sirat, but on that one sirat, Allah has created multiple ways to excel. So some people excel in that they pray tahajjud every night. Right, this is their path to Jannah. Some people excel in that they are extremely generous. They are giving money in charity every day. This is their road to Jannah. For some people, Allah has blessed them with deep knowledge of the religion, and this is their path to Jannah. For some people, Allah has chosen them to fight in His path against the enemies of Islam, and this is their path to Jannah. So the sirat is one, the subul are many. The straight path is one, but on it there are many different roads to take. You have to figure out in your life, what is the good deed I excel at? When it comes to what is wajib, we have to do everything. But when it comes to what is nafil or optional, choose something that Allah has blessed you with the ability to do. Maybe it's tahajjud, maybe it's fasting, maybe it's charity. Maybe it's just having good manners. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ has stated that the 2 things that get the most people into Jannah are taqwa and good manners. Good manners is a path to Jannah. The path that's going to take the most people to Jannah. So why not try at least to take that path to Jannah, where we at least have good manners and are not so rude and vulgar to each other. And finally, the surah ends by reminding us that just as there is a single path to Jannah, there are 2 paths to Jahannam. Maghdubi alayhim waladdaleen. The path that brings about Allah's anger and the path of misguidance. And the scholars of Tafsir will explain the difference. Allah's anger is upon those who know what is right and they still choose to do what is wrong. That is the worst path a human being can choose. Somebody knows Islam is the truth and they still say, I'm never going to become a Muslim because, you know, I like alcohol, or I like pork, or I like worshipping idols, or I don't want to follow a structured religion, or whatever it may be. Right? But they know in their heart Islam is the truth and they still choose a different path. This is maghdubi alayhim. Allah is angry with them. They know right from wrong, but out of arrogance they've chosen a different path. Dhalin is a lesser type of misguidance that still leads to Jahannam. This is someone who believes they are right, but they're on the wrong path. Someone who, for example, sincerely believes that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. Right? They sincerely believe that, but it's not true, it's wrong. So they're heading down the wrong path and they don't even realize they're on the wrong path. This is what's called dalala. Right? A misguidance. Where someone honestly believes, I am right. But when they die, they realize they were wrong. Allah tells us to seek protection from both. Seek protection from knowingly going astray and unknowingly going astray. So how do we seek protection from knowingly going astray? By purifying our hearts and becoming sincere and doing whatever Allah asks of us, even if we dislike it. How do we seek protection from unknowingly going astray? By seeking knowledge. The more knowledge you have, the less likely you are to choose the wrong path. And the more sincere you are, the less likely you are to reject Allah's commands. So improve our knowledge, improve our sincerity, and inshallah we'll find our way to the straight path. So to summarize in our final 2 minutes, today inshallah we discussed the lessons from Surah Al-Fatiha. We said this is the most important surah to study. Allah chose for us to recite the surah in every rak'ah of every salah because it is the most important surah in the Quran. It is a summary of the entire Quran in which Allah tells us who He is, that we must worship Him alone, that we must take the straight path, and we must avoid the paths of misguidance. In the surah, we learn some of the most important names of Allah. That He is Allah. He is the Lord of the universe. He is merciful to all of His creation. He is especially merciful to the believers. And He is the master of the day of judgment. In this surah, we learn the purpose of life, which is to worship Allah. In this surah, we learn the path to Jannah, which is to worship Allah. In this surah, we learn that on the path to Jannah, there are many different roads. So sirat is one, but on that straight path, there are those who excel in salah, those who excel in dhikr, those who excel in fasting, those who excel in jihad, those who excel in dawah, and all of these paths lead to Jannah. And then we learn that there's 2 ways to Jahannam, maghdubi alayhim and dhalin. Allah's anger and misguidance. Allah's anger means purposely rejecting the truth, misguidance means ignorantly following a wrong path. We protect ourselves from purposely choosing the wrong path by purifying our intentions and purifying our souls. And we protect ourselves from ignorantly following the wrong path by increasing our knowledge of Islam. So with that, inshallah, we come to the end of this discussion. I ask Allah to help us all to understand the Quran, to live by the Quran, to put the light of the Quran in our heart, to make it the guidance of our actions, and to make us from the people of the Quran, and to forgive us all of our sins. Jazakallah khairan wa akhir da'wan, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.